Welcome to this episode of the We Travel There podcast. I'm with my kids, Timothy and Scarlett, to talk about spring break ideas for families. Since the kids are in school and play sports year-round, it can be challenging to take family trips. That's why scheduling fun activities during spring break is so important. In this episode, we talk about different types of spring break trips, from adventures at the beach to skiing down the slopes and everything in between. We also discuss ways to save money on spring break vacations and how to get the family involved in planning the vacation. You hear about these three amazing experiences and so much more. If you know someone interested in taking a spring break vacation, I'd love it if you shared this episode with them. The show notes are available at wetravelthere.com/springbreak. Now let's get started. The We Travel There podcast helps you travel like a local by interviewing guests from around the world to uncover the hidden gems of their city by finding out the best things to do, eat, drink, and see from a local's point of view. Acorns is one of my favorite apps because it helps me invest spare change automatically. Every time I make a purchase with a registered debit or credit card, the transaction is rounded up to the next dollar. Then, Acorn invests these roundups in my personalized portfolio. Plus, when you shop at participating retailers or service providers, you can earn additional found money to invest in your future. Examples of current and previous partners include DoorDash, Liberty Mutual, Macy's, and FedEx. I've been using Acorns for years and love how much money I've saved up from all these small investments. Sign up using my referral link at wetravelthere.com/acorns to start saving today. So I'm really excited to have Tim and Scarlett here with me today talking about spring break ideas for families. We're recording this right as spring break is starting for their school. Our spring break is mostly planned for this year, but it's always one of those things where we're looking ahead, looking for ideas for next year, but also want to provide some great ideas for families that are still kind of undecided as far as what they're planning on doing this year. So one of the things that we love doing when we go on spring break is going on a ski and snowboard vacation in the mountains. For many years, we had the Epic and the Icon passes, and it's one of those things where you get to go on a lot of different mountains for one low price. So it's very economical for us parents, but it also provides us a lot of opportunities to the kids for them to enjoy different mountains and everything like that. One of the things I love about hitting the mountains in spring break is that a lot of the winter storms are already gone. And then also the temperatures are starting to increase. So that way you're not bundling kids in 15 different layers of clothing and watching them go down the slopes like the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man. So Tim and Scarlett, like, what are some of the things that you love about going on the skiing and snowboarding during spring break?
One thing I love is getting to ski because it's fun and my parents help me learn.
Yeah, and a lot of times we send you on lessons when we go to the ski slopes. And although that is a higher expense than just buying the lift ticket, I know you've made a lot of different friends over the years when you go on the ski slopes. And is it kind of fun being able to have like a buddy there with you on the slopes?
Yes, because they can help you if you need help or something. And if you want to have a partner to do slopes with you, just in case if you want to go on a harder slope, they'll be there just in case if you fall.
That's true. And Tim, I know you've done a bunch of different lessons as well. So what do you like about going skiing and snowboarding during spring break?
Definitely the hot chocolate.
Yeah, after the après-ski, the adults, they get a little adult beverage and the kids get some hot chocolate at lunchtime and afterwards to warm up from the cold temperatures. But that's one of the things about going during spring break is that the temperatures start to rise. It's obviously still a little chilly because they have the snow, but it's not that bad, right? Sometimes, you can unzip your jacket and just go down the slopes without being super bundled up and 15 layers, right? So one of the things I love about, whether you're using like the Icon Pass, the Epic Pass, or something like that, one of the ways it makes it really affordable is towards the end of the season, those passes usually go on sale. So that way you can actually buy it at the end of the season and get the rest of that season plus all of the next season at a really discounted price. So that makes it a little bit more affordable for families to be able to take the entire family to go skiing and snowboarding. Another option that I use a lot is Liftopia. And that one actually provides discounted lift tickets, whether you're buying it just for a day or buying multiple days. And they generally have lower prices than what you find if you just go straight up to the slopes. However, the discounts can kind of vary quite a bit depending upon which mountain you're going to and which time of year. So definitely look ahead and be able to buy those, buy your lift tickets. Now, one of the other things we do is a lot of times we've gone on like beach vacations So whether it's a beach here domestically or down in the Caribbean or Mexico or something like that, which do you prefer? Do you like going up to the mountains or do you like going to the beach? Tim, what do you think?
I would probably prefer going up to the mountains.
And why do you like going to the mountains versus going to the beach?
Doing snowboarding and having hot chocolate and the snow.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. But for me, it's like, you know, now that we're here in Nashville, like the weather, you know, actually gets a lot colder than it does when we lived in California. And being able to get away and to thaw out, I find that's like definitely something I'm always looking forward to whenever we're planning a beach vacation. What about you, Scarlett? Do you like the sun or the slopes?
I like the sun because it's warmer and I don't need to be wearing like 20 layers.
And then when we go to the beach, do you like going into the ocean or like the lakes, or do you prefer going into the pool at the hotel?
It depends. Is the water really cold or just a little cold?
Yeah, like we were actually just recently down in Panama City Beach for a soccer tournament for you, and the water was pretty cold, right? It was early March, and the water was pretty cold, but you still had a lot of fun, and you and your teammates were all running around in the water and actually got me to go in the water with you as well, right?
Yes, we jumped on you and pushed you in because we didn't want to go all by ourselves because the waves are kind of wild.
Yeah, for sure. So that's one of the fun things too about the waves is that, you know, whether it's your body surfing, getting a boogie board, or even getting a surfboard, you know, as the kids get older, being able to learn how to surf and those type of things is another great activity that once you buy the board or buy the boogie board or the surfboard, pretty much that from the rest of the point going forward, it's actually pretty free. So that's a great opportunity as well. You know, when you're looking at these beach vacations, one of the things I love is that, you know, you can find like a low-cost flight, whether it be on Southwest or JetBlue or like some sort of regional airline. But also, the spring break often tends to be kind of like an off-peak season because, you know, they're raising prices for the summertime and everything like that. But if you find those fares, you find that sale, you can save a lot of money on that flight. Kind of the same thing also applies when you're looking at hotel points, right? The hotels, they know it's spring break. They know that a lot of families want to travel during that period of time. So even though those cash prices are higher, the award prices may go up a little bit, but generally you're going to be able to save a lot of money and actually get some pretty good value from your points if you're being able to book an award vacation using your points instead of paying cash. Now, another thing we love to do is go on international trips because this way for me, whenever I'm trying to find something for us to do as a family, especially if we're missing a little bit of school, because sometimes maybe we skip out a little early or arrive a little late from spring break, is being able to find something that's a little bit educational, right? Whether you're learning about some history, you're visiting some museums, going to some historical places, doing those type of activities gives you an opportunity to have a little bit of fun, but also finding some entertainment. So, you know, kids, we've gone to a number of different countries. Do you have any favorites?
One of my favorites is Europe because there's a lot of good soccer places in Spain, and I love to go in French because they have a lot of good foods.
Oh, yeah. That's one of the things about traveling is obviously there's the educational, historical part of things, but also, you know, experiencing new cuisines, meeting new people. It's a great way to kind of expand the horizons of your children. I mean, I'm kind of picky with food. Scarlett's pretty picky. Tim is like the foodie of the family. You know, he tries all sorts of different things. But when you're there in that environment, you know, even if you are picky, it's a little bit easier to kind of go outside your comfort zone and try something new because your friends and family aren't around, right? And like they're not going to laugh at you if like you kind of spit it out or whatever. And you see everybody else kind of eating that same food as well. So it gives you a great opportunity to try some new foods. And again, like go outside your comfort zone. And then also just, you know, whether it's like you're eating it or whether maybe you can even take food lessons, right? Like learning how to cook some of those foods as well. That kind of like adds to the whole experience of it all. What about you, Tim? I know you've tried a lot of different foods in a lot of different places, like octopus down in Cozumel and poutine up in Canada and everything else. So like, what are some of your favorite places that you've gone or maybe some of the different foods that you've tried?
I remember having crepes in Sweden and it did taste good. And yeah, as you mentioned, the poutine in Canada, that was also very good.
Yeah, I remember kind of explaining it to you and I was offering, hey, do you want to try this? I know you love cheese curds. You know, I know you love fries. They haven't really had a whole lot of gravy, you know. And when I told you that all three of them were going to mix in like in one dish, the look you gave me was like, I'm not so sure I really want to try this. You know, but I may have bribed you a little bit to get you to try it. But after you tried it, man, you loved it. So it was really cool just like being a parent and seeing like you kind of experiencing something new for the first time. And you're going from like a kind of like a, I'm not so sure about this thing to like, oh yeah, this is really good.
Oh yeah, I remember that.
All right. One of the other things is that you know, right now, like the US dollar is really strong compared to like the Europe, the British pound, and many other you know, foreign currencies. So again, a lot of times when you're looking at the cost of trips going to Europe and to other, you know, other areas of the world, that whether the costs are kind of high, but when you convert it into US dollars, actually the prices are pretty, you know, reasonable and affordable. So it's a great way to be able to travel when the US dollar is strong because everything is cheaper, you know, and it makes it a little bit easier to be able to save up for the trip and be able to take the whole family and go do some really amazing experiences. Now, unfortunately, you know, not everybody's able to travel, whether it's work schedules, you know, budget constraints, kids' sports, all those different types of things. So there's a lot that goes on that where maybe you can't really travel beyond like your local area. So taking a staycation, that's a great way to be able to kind of explore your local area. A lot of times what happens is you know, we get so busy and we're like, oh yeah, that's really cool, but I've never got a chance to do it yet because I'm always busy with all the daily activities that we have at home, stuff like that. So if you take a little staycation, just pretend like you're a tourist, right? And do a lot of the things that you normally wouldn't do just because it is too convenient, right? And so doing things like that is a great way to be able to explore your local area, but also supporting a lot of the local businesses in your community because a lot of those business owners are your friends and family as well. So you're helping people out in numerous ways. One of the things we also do is we like to visit water parks. Gaylord Hotels has a lot of great water parks. Here in Nashville, the Opryland is really amazing. Great Wolf Lodge is really good as well. And then there's also local attractions from like smaller organizations like Tropic Falls at OWA that's down at the Gulf Coast of Alabama. They're a lot of fun. They're a full day of activities you know, for one low price. And then as parents, generally the kids get super tired, you know, running around and doing all the slides and everything like that, that you get a nice peaceful night of sleep with the kids going conking out early. And that way, you know, you and your spouse can maybe enjoy a glass of wine or something like that out on the balcony afterwards and be able to just kind of talk about the day, you know? So obviously in springtime, March is still kind of weird with the weather. You never really know what's happening. There are a lot of water parks that actually that are either all or partially indoors. So even if the weather's bad outside, most of them are, you know, 80 degrees plus inside. So no matter what time of year you travel, you could be able to enjoy the water parks at one of those. So I know, Scarlett, like there were some water park rides where you're kind of like, I'm not so sure I really want to do that. But as soon as you got tall enough, you jumped right in there and you had a great time on some of those slides. What do you think about that?
They're a great place to go. And there was this one that dropped you down. I didn't want to go on it because I was scared. When it drops, I thought it would be really scary, but once I got on it, I was really brave. And then I got my brother to go on it.
Yeah, that's a great thing to do because it helps you kind of conquer some of the fears that you're worried about. Like, oh, you know, it looks scary and everything like that. But then when you see people that are like similar age or similar size, you see that they can do it. And it helps kind of give you that courage. So like, you know, I can do that too. And obviously it's just a water park and it's just fun and things like that. But I think anytime we can, as parents, encourage our kids to do things that seem a little scary, that really aren't that, you know, dangerous or anything like that, that it helps them be able to take on the more challenging things later on as they continue to grow up. So Tim, I know that you've been a great swimmer for many years as well. And so you've gone on some of those rides and some of them, like they are a little scary. I mean, especially the ones that drop you like pretty much 90 degrees straight down. I know that, I mean, I get a little scared as well, but like, what are some of your favorite water park rides that you've gone on or what, like the experiences? Do you like the ones where it goes into like the kind of like a racer or like the ones with the big inflatable tubes where you can have multiple people going on at the same time, or just the ones that, again, that just they open up the trap door and drop you straight down?
I really like the ones that are for multiple people. So that way then like you and Scarlett can also come on the ride and be able to do it as well with me. And then also the ones where like you sort of go through like sort of twists and turns and the occasional drops.
Oh yeah, those are a lot of fun as well. It's like, it's kind of fun also, like, you know, say if you go down at the same time as like somebody else, right? Where it's, if I'm going down at the same time, or you and Scarlett are going down at the same time, or mom's with us, then it's almost like a little bit of a race, right?
Yes.
So another thing you can do when you're doing a staycation is actually visit your local visitors bureau. They're a great source of information, whether you're going online to their website or actually going down to the actual physical location or just giving them a call. Their whole job is really to help encourage people to support local businesses and explore a lot of different things in the area. So they don't know whether you are from Topeka, Kansas, California, New York, or wherever, or even just local. It really doesn't matter to them. All that matters is that they want you to have a great time. They want you to be able to support those local businesses. And what you can do is a lot of times on their websites, they actually have itineraries already pre-planned out. And you can kind of peruse through them and get some ideas, or basically just kind of take the whole itinerary. And then what you can do also is reach out to them, say, hey, I'm really interested in X, Y, or Z different types of experiences. What type of local attractions you can help me experience something like that? And they're more than happy to be able to help you out. And sometimes they even have discounts or maybe like a card that gives you a bunch of different attractions for one low price. Something like that is a great way to be able to kind of explore your local area, support your city, and support those local businesses. The public library is another option for that. A lot of times them and local businesses, they offer free or low-cost activities for families. So consider going to those as well. And a lot of times they're, you know, possibly even within walking distance of where you live. Also, a lot of different cities, they have local walking tours that are actually free. They're run by, you know, local experts. And although they are free, a lot of times those guides are working for tips. So be sure to tip them generously, you know, and make sure that it makes it worthwhile for you as well as for them. Now, one of the things that we do here locally is we have something called the Get Out Pass. And we've had that for a couple different years. We really like the one here in Nashville. It actually includes free admission to like more than 47 different activities. Things like Nashville Shores is a big water park. Kentucky Kingdom is an amusement park. Kentucky Down Under is a great like petting zoo where we get to feed kangaroos. I know, Scarlett, you fed some of the kangaroos and like the wallabies and everything. What do you think about that?
It's really fun. And you get to find out what kangaroos and wannabes really look like, and it gives you an idea of what they would look like.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, obviously they can, you know, sometimes these animals are quite big, especially considering like compared to a child. But when you actually come up near them, you can pet them, you can feed them straight out of your hand and those types of things. And it gives you kind of a greater appreciation for the wildlife. And also, hopefully, it kind of inspires some of the children to think about careers in like veterinary medicine or agriculture or farming and those types of things, because they can see that the animals are such a great resource for us, both from a family perspective, but also from the economy as well. So Tim, I know you've gone with us a couple different times. We go to Kentucky Down Under. Like, do you have any favorite animals or anything that you experienced there?
Not really, but I do remember that there were also emus at the place.
Oh yeah, the emus. Those ones, like, again, they're not really that ferocious, but they kind of peck at your hand really fast, right? And they kind of knock the seed out of your hand.
Yes, and I remember there are other types of birds, such as peacocks.
Oh yeah, and then I can't remember the name of them, but there's these other little birds that you can kind of feed them the sugar water, and they kind of get in your hair, and they get on your shoulder and on your arm, and then you're basically trying to get the water out of your hand.
I think those were parrots.
Yeah, I'm not sure, but I remember that part.
Yeah, those are a lot of fun. The other thing also, the Get Out Pass has a lot of different other things as well, like axe throwing, roller skating, bowling, laser tag, all those different types of things. So it's really cool. We're going to have discount codes in the show notes, so go ahead and check those out. Another one that I've heard about recently is called the Pogo Pass. It's a newer business from what I understand. They currently have like 7 locations across the United States, including like Dallas, Vegas, Austin, Nashville. And that one includes some of the different attractions that kind of overlap with the Get Out Pass. But they also have some interesting ones that I haven't seen elsewhere, like the Nashville Children's Theater and Circus World and Nashville Sounds Minor League Baseball Games. So, again, it's a great way to be able to explore and support local businesses for one low flat price. And then also, you know, I mean, when you got a family of 4, sometimes it gets expensive when you're going out and doing a lot of different activities. So it's nice to be able to spend less than $100 a person for like the full year. That's like 10 bucks a month or less, and be able to get all these different attractions for free, basically for the rest of the next 12 months. So I think that's really cool. And again, we're going to have links to those in the show notes. One thing that we're starting to do more now is actually get our kids involved in the planning of trips, whether it's spring break, summer break, or any other different types of vacation we go on. And I think it's one of those things that helps them understand the whole planning process. It also gives them a greater appreciation of what things cost. And then one thing that I saw that was really cool on social media, the kids are a little bit older when they were doing this, but they were actually each family member who had to get put together a PowerPoint presentation to share where they wanted to go, why they wanted to go, what type of activities there are, the hotels, put together a whole cost analysis as far as how much the hotels cost, the flights and everything like that. And then when everybody was done, each family member actually voted on which trip they wanted to go on. So I thought that was really cool because it also encourages them to create this planning thing because, you know, look, at some point they're going to grow up and they're going to be outside the house and they're going to actually have to start paying for these things. And so this way it gives them that idea and also gives them some of that knowledge and expertise on how to plan things. So kids, if I had you guys put together like a presentation on a trip, where would you want to go? And do you think that's something you can do?
I'm not sure, but I would probably want to go someplace in Europe and maybe even the Middle East.
Okay, that's a good idea. So what about you, Scarlett?
I probably want to go to someplace in Europe or California.
Oh, yeah, to go back and see friends from when we lived there. That'd be a lot of fun. So the other thing, let's talk a little bit about some different ways to save money on spring break trips. Obviously, you know, I talk a lot about miles and points on my primary website and everything. I know sometimes it can be a little challenging for people when they're putting together, you know, miles and points. It is a little intimidating for some people and things like that. The one thing I wanted to always reinforce to people is that you don't have to cover the entire trip cost of, you know, using your miles and points for them to be worthwhile. Even if you can only shave off a couple nights or pay for like one way on the flight or like one person's flight on a round trip basis, something like that. Even if you're only able to do a portion of your trip, saving, you know, hundreds, if not thousands of dollars is still absolutely worthwhile. And it makes it that much more affordable for you to be able to go on the vacation or be able to do that many more activities when you're actually on the trip. So definitely encourage people to use miles and points, whether it's getting a new credit card, online shopping, those types of things. There's a lot of different ways to be able to earn miles and points on our website. So go ahead and check those out. We'll definitely include links to some of those in the show notes. One of the ways that I've learned recently is there's a couple of different tools to make it easy to be able to redeem your miles and points for your trips. For hotel points, there's something called a Ways with a Z. This is an online tool that helps you look at the prices and availability of award nights. So that way you don't have to go to each individual site and look and choose that way. It actually just from one site, you can look and see, and it'll tell you what the cost is in cash, but also in points. So that way you can kind of know, are you getting a good value when you're redeeming your rewards, or should you just be better off paying cash for the trips? So that's really cool. Use the promo code Lee or visit wetravelthere.com/aways, again with a Z at the end, to be able to get a discount on your membership. Another one is being able to redeem your airline miles to be able to, for the flights. Flights can be quite expensive, especially if you're doing business class or first class. And so Aways and this another website is called point.me. They also offer services where they help you find award space for your miles. For me, booking award space on miles is a little bit more challenging than booking out on hotels because there's so many different permutations, and finding award space on flights can be a little bit more challenging. So I really love these services to be able to do that, especially because once they find the award availability for you, they also offer step-by-step instructions on how to be able to transfer your points, redeem your points and your miles for that trip so that way you can save a lot of different money on your flights. Another thing to do, whether you're paying cash or using points, is booking a hotel that includes free breakfast or it just simply has a kitchen in the room. So I know it's really great as a parent where you can let the kids sleep in for a little bit longer and then you take your shower and then have some breakfast ready for when the kids are waking up. That way they can wake up kind of on their own terms, right? Because the kids are growing up, they want to be able to sleep in, and they get a little grumpy in the morning when you wake them up a little too early. Is that right, Scarlett?
Yes. I get really grumpy and you wake me up.
Yeah. And then Tim, also, I think it's one of those things where, you know, while one person's eating or getting ready and stuff like that, then it allows you, when you have a kind of like that space like that, to be able to do other things, whether it's playing video games, working on school assignments, those type of things, being able to have that like almost like a little bit of a private space in the hotel, right?
Yes.
So another thing is, you know, certain hotels actually even have like, they host evening wine hours like Kimpton or happy hours for the guests like at Embassy Suites. Those are great ways. Maybe it's like a good way to kind of like cool down a little bit from the day, have a happy adult beverage, be able to meet, you know, and talk with like the staff at the hotel or, you know, some of the other guests, things like that. I think those are really cool. Just nice little touches, having that complimentary little drink at the end of the day. Also, if you have elite status or book a club level room, a lot of times they have rooms where you can go where they have food and snacks throughout the day. They also have drinks throughout the day as well. So that way, you know, even if you're not able to be there for that happy hour, you can go there during the day or in the evening and get a little something to snack on or to drink at no charge. So those are nice little tips as well. Again, when you're looking at things to do to save money, things like Groupon, they're always offering discounts. Again, the Visitors Bureau, they oftentimes have coupons for local businesses and attractions. And then also, like we talked about, the Get Up Pass, the Pogo Pass, and then also City Pass. Those are great ways. And then if you are driving to wherever it is you're going to go for spring break, use apps like Upside, Gas Buddy, and even gas station apps. They even have discounts on the price of your gas, whether it's 5 cents, 10 cents, 20 cents. All that money adds up, you know, when you're spending, you know, refilling your car 20 gallons at a time. That adds up quickly. And it gives you a little bit extra like pocket change. So that way, whenever you're on these trips, they make them a little bit more affordable. When I look at things, we only have these kids for about like 18 years before they become adults. They want to go out and do their own things. They go off to college, stuff like that. So every opportunity you have, whether it's spring break, summer, or the holidays, taking advantage of those times to be able to create memories, I think is key, because the more you can create those memories for them now, and create those special bonds, then it keeps them a little closer to home. You know, that way you can continue creating those memories. Sometimes even we're going on trips where it's just me and the kids, or just me and one of the kids, or just my wife and one of the kids, something like that. It creates those special memories and times where even those little inside jokes that you can talk about for many, many years, you know. So Scarlett, if you had to pick like one of the best places we've gone for spring break, or one of the best trips just in general, what's one of your favorites that we've done?
When we went to Colorado for skiing and snowboarding, it was really fun. I loved snowboarding, and me and my mom went on a slope together.
Yeah, so again, that's you know, that was a couple years ago, and then see, like, just having those memories like embedded in their brain and those special happy times, I think to me is like, it's like priceless. What about you, Tim? Do you have any vacations or spring break trips that have really been one of your favorites?
I think one that I really enjoyed was the one going to where the Lego factory in Denmark.
Yeah, that was pretty amazing. That was like where the original Lego factory was, the original Legoland, and then also Lego House. Remember like the big structure? They had the big dinosaurs that were there. They were made out of Legos. And that one, when you first walk in, there's this huge tree that was made, I think, of like 7 million Legos. I mean, it was absolutely intense, like how big it was.
Yeah, and I remember I got like a Lego box to be able to build like miniature versions of the dinosaurs that were in there.
Absolutely. And then the entire building of the Lego house looked like it was Lego stacked on top of each other. Remember that?
Yes.
So, okay, well, cool. Well, again, it's been great having Tim and Scarlett here on the show. I love being able to kind of get glimpses into like their mindset and what they're thinking about and what they remember and what they don't. And I think it's just one of those things where I love capturing their thoughts and opinions on things. As they get older, they'll be going to be able to listen to these episodes and hear themselves. And they'll probably laugh, little chuckles, but also probably pretty feel warm inside, you know, thinking about these memories. So anyways, thanks everybody for listening. It's been great talking about spring break trips for families. Hopefully it inspired you to think about some new things, and then also provided some different ways to help you save on your trip. That way you can afford to go on even more vacations with your family and make great memories. What an awesome conversation with Tim and Scarlett. I love getting their opinions on travel topics, and it's fun to hear what they have to say. You can find all the links we talked about at wetravelthere.com/springbreak. We want to say thank you to Acorns for being today's affiliate partner. With Acorns, you can invest spare change automatically on every purchase that you make. Plus, you can earn found money by shopping at participating retailers. This is a great way to easily build up your travel fund. For a limited time, When you sign up at wetravelthere.com/acorns, we'll both earn $5. Join us next time as we speak with my new friend, Trish Snowden, the CEO of Visit Pleasant Hill. In this episode, Trish and I talk about hiking at Mount Diablo State Park, taking in the views from Dinosaur Hill, and listening to vinyl records at Rasputin Music. Hope you join us when we travel there. I love hearing your feedback about the show. Send me a tweet at WeTravelThere or email me at wetravelthere.com/contact to share your thoughts. If you've enjoyed this episode, please share it with your friends and tell me what you like most. Make sure you follow us on your favorite podcast app. That way you won't miss any of our upcoming destinations.